How many drafts did he have to write of this breakup to come to that? As
for that, for that to be the, and like, and it's like very clearly not the reason, right? Like,
yeah.
And looking back, I know that we are not right for each other. Like, we are not compatible people. But the fact that he was like, nope, can't say any of those valid reasons, must tell her that it's because I need to be sober and vegan and live in Ohio. Another episode of Finding Mr. Hyde, the podcast. I'm Allie, back with my co-host Rourke. Rourke, how are you doing?
Good. I mean, we just spoke. It's very funny.
Indeed.
We recorded Patreon this morning. And so, I mean, I've been on a date since then, so I have plenty to update on.
Very excited to hear.
So much can happen in a day. Did you have a good day?
I did. I went to a friend's engagement party today, my friend Val. And she has to be her bridesmaid, which was really fun and exciting.
Oh my God. That's so cute. Yeah. Yay.
Yeah. She did an adorable job with the invites. But yesterday I had a volleyball tournament, and so I woke up so stiff and so sore. And so as we mentioned last week, we have our new sponsor, Sunset Lake CBD. And mm-hmm. I actually tried another product of theirs for the first time this week, which is their salve. It's like a hemp and CBD salve with like arnica.
Yeah.
And I've used arnica before on bruises, but I've never tried a CBD salve. And it really helped my back today.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. I woke up. I couldn't even stretch it. It was so stiff. Oof. Like, you know, when you're so stiff that like stretching doesn't even help because you can't stretch.
Yeah.
It was awful. So then I rubbed the salve like all over my lower back and kind of like went about my morning and made my coffee and whatnot. And then it loosened it up.
That's awesome.
Yeah, wow. It was amazing.
That's great. I'm a lazy bitch, so I have not needed it for those purposes.
But you're still liking your drops?
Yes. I talked about this on the Patreon that I've like not slept this week, but both like Friday and Saturday were like my precious reclaiming sleep nights. And yeah. Did I have infinitely better sleep because I used my drops? Fuck yes. It was great. I literally was dead to the world. I had some weird dreams and I loved it.
Amazing. Yeah. If you missed it last week, Sunset Lake CBD is our new sponsor. They're a hemp farm. They're just outside of Burlington, Vermont. We are going. We are taking a trip to Burlington, Vermont. They are incredible. It's like a small farm. They have like a farm-to-table type approach. It's responsibly produced, really high-quality products. They sell all sorts of stuff. Like we mentioned, the drops, which I think are technically called tinctures, which is a very fun word
fancy,
that I enjoy.
Very fancy.
So fancy. Like I mentioned, they have salves. They also have gummies, which I honestly – so I've tried them. I was skeptical because they look a lot like Sour Patch Kids.
Uh-huh.
And so I hate them. Not the – just crazy. To be clear. Not the Sunset Lake ones. In general, like I hate – I don't like candy. I don't like Sour Patch Kids. I don't like gummies, like all that stuff. I like these.
They're very good.
Yeah. I really like them. So
yeah. – I feel like I feel the more immediate effect of the drops. So I tend to lean drops.
Yes. So yeah. I have been using the gummies. I actually have been taking gummies during the day. Not every day.
Interesting.
But I've been taking them when I like kind of am having more high anxiety days.
Oh, okay. That's smart.
And it's just been more of a like an evening out.
My friend Amy just got a bunch of stuff from their website now that our
amazing.
Code is active. Yeah.
Yes. So speaking of our code, you can go to sunsetlakecbd.com and use coupon code FMH20. You can get 20% off everything.
And she did just that. She got some for herself. So she tried it when we were in Dallas together.
Oh,
and she
right.
really liked it. And then – so she got it for herself and she got some for her dad.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're awesome. And everything is third-party tested for quality assurance. They ship directly to you. The packaging is also quite cute, if I do say so myself, as Erica mentioned last week. And yeah, sunsetlakecbd.com, FMH20. Go get it.
Love.
And I'm going to put some more salve on before bed. I'm like such an old lady dropping CBD drops into my mouth and then rubbing salve on my lower back.
Yeah, this is 30.
This is 35, my friend.
Close enough.
But yeah, I've thought about before that, like, unrelated to the CBD drop, but just everything. Somebody coming into my life and, like, witnessing my go-to-bed routine, which involves, like, all of this, like, let's make sure that I wake up alive tomorrow type stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think I said this on the podcast. I don't recall. But I told lots of dogs about how I tape my mouth at night.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, excuse me, what? And he's like, I'm not over the mouth tape.
I will say the rower is the first man that I've ever slept next to in my eye mask.
Oh.
And that was like a big step for me. I had never before slept next to somebody in my eye mask.
Really? Oh, I haven't given no fucks. I'm like, this
I haven't
is
been
how
wearing
I need
an eye mask for very long.
It.
I've only been wearing an eye mask for like less than a year.
Oh, okay.
It hasn't been that long. But like, so I guess it's not as much of a part of my routine. But my room is so incredibly bright. I actually have a guest eye mask because the place where my guest bed is also quite bright.
Yeah.
And so when he was over, he used my guest eye mask.
Oh my God.
Yeah, obviously quite some time ago. Just to be clear, everyone, this was quite some time ago.
Yeah.
Because I could just see the DMs coming. About like, you're back with the rower? I'm like, no, yeah. This is from fucking January. Anyway, so you went on a date today.
I did. Yeah,
breaking
I
news. Day-date.
Yeah.
And?
Okay, it was not what I expected. What he like kind of leads with and like what we kind of messaged about mm-hmm. was, I would say, a little bit like nerdier.
Okay. Like, give me an example of something you messaged about.
We were like, he was talking to me about how he really likes like sci-fi books.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And because we were like talking about like what we're reading, like whatever. Then he was a lot like frattier in person.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. And so I was a little like, oh, this is like not what I expected. I told him, I was like, oh my God, you're Troy Bolton. Because he was on the football team. Yeah. He was like, I played football in fall, but then did musicals in the spring. I was like,
did he get that
up,
reference?
He did and didn't. He was like, I know what you're talking about, but I haven't seen it. And, yeah. And I was like, okay, well, it's valid as fuck. So moving on. But it was fun. I would see him again if he asked me out. I'm not gonna take a lot of steps to make that happen.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a fun time. We kept sort of hitting like a, oh, you like that? Like, cool. Like, agree to disagree. Not conflictual, but just sort of like, oh, that's not for me, but here's what I like. And that's fine. I don't think you have to have the same hobbies, but it did feel like a lot of like we were each sort of making a bid with an interest, and the other was sort of like,
nope, not so
about
much.
It.
Like, yeah. Like what? Like what's something of his or yours that you weren't into?
An example, we talked about like favorite movies, and I said, I can probably name a favorite movie. I was like, my friends and I actually were kind of just talking about this. Like, I think it gets tricky when you ask somebody to list a top five, because then you start asking them to kind of like, I think you then need to start bucketing them, like comedy, drama, like top okay. five movies is too hard. Anyway, so I was saying like, but if I have to react and give you like a favorite movie, I would say Pulp Fiction. Like, I'm a mm-hmm. big Quentin Tarantino fan. And he was like, oh, like, I think those movies are like way too like bloody. Like, I don't like those.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. Like, what about fine. Like once? Yeah, totally fine. And he's like, the one that I liked was The Hateful Eight. And I'm like, that's literally his worst by so much. And it's not close. Like, it's a bad movie. And then like, his favorite movies are very kind of like what I would consider. And like, this is me being a fucking elitist and I'm being picky and this is bullshit.
Is it Shawshank Redemption?
It's very fucking close. And they're all just sort of like college boy poster movies, you know? Yeah. And I'm like,
don't get me wrong. I really do like Shawshank Redemption, but it is a very like quintessential, this is my favorite movie.
Yes. So his was Gladiator.
Okay.
Yeah. So same, but different.
Yeah.
We both like sports. So like it actually reminded me of your date where we're like, we were sort of like watching the Warriors game off and on. Happy to talk about that. Plenty to talk about that there. And then this is like me being a picky bitch, but he asked, but it's an example of what I'm talking about, where he like asked if I was a foodie. I was like, oh, it's funny. Like the answer is yes. I do think foodie has become kind of a four-letter word, but yes, I like really care about
food. The answer is yes. Yeah.
Yeah. The answer is yes. I care about food. I love to cook, like whatever. I was like, what are some of your, and he was like, same. I said, what are some of your favorite spots? And he proceeds to list like bad restaurants. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh boy. And so yeah, this is me just being an asshole. This is me being like, I have my perception.
Or maybe it's just you not sharing interests with him.
Fine. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. But like, I take it like, I don't know. I don't want to, I'm trying to be less petty. That's what I'm trying to say.
No, I get it.
Yeah. And so like, part of me is like, I could mold you. Like I can teach you to like good things. but who knows? So like I said, it was fun. It was a nice time. It was easy conversation. Like we went back and forth easily,
yeah.
But I would be shocked if it makes it past a third date.
All right. Well, good on you for going.
Yeah. No, I'm glad I went. And like, also like, all, you know, not to say like to be in constant comparison, but like it's nice. It's like, I have a much better time talking to lots of dogs.
I was gonna ask if you like, one, if you think that your like perception of this first date or any first date is like skewed by having a more advanced connection with lots of dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. And so yes and no, like I would be open to something else progressing. Like lots of dogs and I are moving like pretty slowly, in part just because we're both so busy and like, that's not going to change. He's about to travel through Southeast Asia for the next couple weeks. So like, F me, like it is what it is. And so like, if things change, I'm very open to that. He and I texted for a little bit this afternoon, actually, after we recorded, but I find a lot more sort of like intellectual interest and fulfillment from my conversations with him. And like, I feel much more sort of engaged and aligned, even if it isn't just like, you like this, I like this, yay. It's more dynamic where we're sort of like, even where we're disagreeing, we're still building on what the other person has
to say.
You're
like riffing off of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So anyway, that's where we're at. Yeah.
I think I might have the opposite impact, like first impression versus in-person impact as this dude you went out with today, in the sense of I do not have intellectual interests, just like objectively. I don't. I like if you ask me what book I'm reading, I'm not. I do like to read. Historically, I've loved to read.
Yeah.
I am not currently reading a book. I'm not usually currently reading a book. Like I can't really talk to you about like my favorite quote unquote films. I like don't really like museums. Like I could go on.
Yeah.
But like so the conversations that I tend to have with people are not like that.
Yeah.
And yet I consider myself like an intellectually interesting person who enjoys having like intellectually stimulating conversations. But like I just don't have surface level intellectual interests.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm like the literal opposite.
That definitely could be, yeah.
So
that's really funny.
I don't, it's neither here nor there. I just like, when you were saying that, it was just interesting. I was like, yeah, like I feel like, because when people ask me like, what are you reading right now? I fucking panic. I'm not, is the answer.
Yeah.
So unless
to be frank, like my pleasure reading is like in the toilet because I like read so much for work.
Yeah.
But yeah, so but that's, you know, its own separate cross to bear. Yeah. But yeah.
So
anyway. And I mean, I'm no fucking angel. I devour I kept sort of like referencing like things about like reality TV. Like we were kind of like talking about like sports and competition and stuff.
Yeah.
And I asked him if you ever watched like, I was like, oh, by any chance, have you ever seen MTV's The Challenge? And he didn't know what that was. And I was like, okay, well, like Lolo Jones was on it recently and he knew who that was.
Yeah.
And I was like, and something that like I think is kind of sad is that there's this episode where they play flag football or like touch football just for fun. And this woman cannot have fun. Like, she is so competitive that she can't even do something for fun.
They play flag football or touch football for fun on The Challenge?
Yeah, they were just, like, running around in the backyard on an off day.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah. And
and she can't. She can't engage in recreational play.
Fucking furious, like, loses her shit. Like, and that's the thing. I'm like, that doesn't feel like, I was like, I can't imagine that. Like, I'm definitely a competitive person, but I can let go.
That's another level.
It's another level. And yeah. I guess you have to, like, if you're an Olympic athlete, you must have another gear.
I'm not an Olympic athlete, so I don't have that level.
Totally. Like, and God bless us. But so anyway, like, we were talking about that. Like, I made a reference to Love is Blind. He had no idea what I was talking about. And I just felt like we like weren't having like the same like touch points.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever. I've beat this dead horse. You get the vibe.
Get the vibe. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have plans. I really want to introduce the disco ball to Paul from 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 Day season one.
Ah, yes, yes, yes.
I like need him to know who Paul is. So I'm actually going to suggest this weekend that we watch.
Love. That'll be fun.
Because I reference Paul way too often for him not to have seen it.
That's crazy.
Paul is my favorite reality TV.
Paul?
All the time. Paul is my favorite reality TV character of all time.
That's hilarious. Okay.
He's great. Honestly, though, Gino from the most recent Before the 90 Days season is pretty damn close.
Oh, the guy who won't take his baseball hat off?
The guy who won't take his hat off. Yeah.
Yeah. Good shit.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, fun day and fun. Lots of dogs.
Always good to learn more information. Put yourself out there. It's all good.
Yeah.
Tell us about the comeback kid.
The comeback kid has come back and it was a success.
Yeah.
It was
back
super
and better
fun.
Than ever.
Back and better than ever. It was a lot of fun. It very much felt just like someone I know already. Which technically it is, but we went on 2 dates. 4 years ago, like that was a very different time for me and also just a long time ago. So I wasn't sure what to expect. It just felt like immediately comfortable, which was really nice.
That's really nice.
And yeah, so we went to dinner at this really great place in Williamsburg and ended up seated next to, we had dinner at the bar, which, as we know, is my favorite move. And we ended up seated next to this woman who was just bombed.
Oh, like, God.
And mind you, it was 7 p.m. So, like, by the time we realized how drunk she was, it was maybe 8. But she was so drunk and, like, trying to – we were sitting down on one side of the bar. She was at the corner and there was a 2 guys having dinner on her other side. And she continued to try to interject herself into each of our conversations anytime she heard something that she found interesting.
Oh, good Lord.
And it was so clear that she was drunk. So, like, all 4 of us were, like, dodging her attempts to join our conversations. Like, we have no interest in talking to this lady. She's clearly drunk. But she just persisted. And then eventually I had to go to the bathroom. And I, like, said to him, like, I'm so sorry. Like, I have to pee. I just knew that she was going to corner him while I was gone. And she did. And so when I came back, he was like stuck in this really awful conversation with her. And
oh my God.
Yeah. Like it ended up being, it actually ended up being a bonding moment for me and him though, because so the conversation was about diversity and inclusion somehow.
Oh,
he was like, she brought this up. I don't really understand how we started talking about this, But she and I like don't really want to get into it right now, but she said a couple things to me that were really offensive.
Oh, shit.
And like literally upon me sitting back down. And it turned into the situation where I was doing that, this balance that like a lot of like people of color will understand when they listen to this, where like I was worried that I would overreact and turn him off because of how I was reacting to this person offending me, which like isn't something that I should have to think about, but you do. And like, and so I like very clearly told her that I didn't appreciate what she said and like, please don't say that to someone else.
Yeah.
And it, she didn't like that. She was like, well, I would never say that to someone. We're just talking. I'm like, but you said it to me just now, whatever. That doesn't matter. But the point is that he was the very perfect balance of supportive, but not stepping on my toes.
That's, I mean, literally perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a really hard balance to strike. And I've like talked to friends before about it, white friends who are like, you know, I'm on your team, but I also know you can speak for yourself and, you know, like these kinds of things. And he struck a really nice balance with that. Where like it was very clear that he was supportive of me. It was very clear that we were on the same team and that he found what she was doing unacceptable while at the same time letting me speak for myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just really appreciated that. And I like to, we're done with dinner. We left and went to get a drink somewhere else. And I said to him, I was like, I really appreciated how you handled it, but also how you let me handle it. So that was, it ended up being like a nice moment for us.
Yeah. That's, I mean, turn lemons into lemonade. I'm sorry that that happened, but glad that it kind of turned positive for that.
Yeah. No, it was, I mean, she was wasted. Not that it excuses.
Yeah. Not that there's any credence to be put in that person's. Yeah.
Yeah. But it just, yeah. She works for a very large tech company, and I wanted to be like, what do you do there? I really hope it's not important.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So anyway, all that to say that we had a lovely evening, even with that little blip, which again turned into a really positive moment for us. And it was really nice. And we talked about, I asked him if he remembered why we didn't go out again, like on a third date 4 years ago, because I did not. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, like I remember we were texting. It was over the holidays. And he said, I remember that we were texting, and I had also ascertained this. Cindy had the really good idea to search the words Forever 21 in my text messages.
Oh my God, smart.
Yeah. And so I then found myself telling the story to people via text message in November of 2018.
Nice. Wow.
Yeah. Incredibly smart on Cindy's part. And so he was like, yeah, like I remember we went home for the holidays, and like I'm pretty sure it was my fault. I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, like I just remember we were texting, and I just kind of like not that I dropped the ball, but I didn't pick it up.
Okay.
And he was like, yeah, that probably checks out. You know, like I knew that I would remember if he had, you know, ghosted me or done something like actively bad. Obviously, right. I could have asked him on a third date myself. And I definitely didn't do that. So he kind of has the same recollection as I do. And yeah, so we are going out again on Wednesday.
Very exciting. You're look at you juggling.
I know. I really appreciated how he texted me the very next day, said he had a great time, asked if I wanted to run it back, suggested a thing we do.
Beautiful.
Like all in the same text.
Fantastic.
Like, great. Good job. Yeah, it's interesting. This is like, I mean, granted, we have not gone on this second date yet. Who knows if it will continue past that. But if it does, this will be the first time in a really long time that I am dating multiple people in like a more extended way. Like,
yeah,
both people that I like. Obviously the disco ball and I are like further developed, and you know, I've spent considerably more time with him and will again I'm going down to DC again this weekend. That's new news for this group. And I'm very, very excited about that. So you scared the crap out of me.
That's my thought on the matter.
I loved it. No, I'm super excited to go to DC. I got giddy when I booked the tickets. I'm really excited. I really like him. Like in a very like, you know, I've been out with him 3 times. You know, things are developing in a really good way.
Yeah.
And I just feel really good about how I feel about it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So
huzzah.
And huzzah. The only wrinkle being that after this weekend, when I see him, I likely won't see him for close to 2 months.
That is a bummer.
Yeah. So we're gonna have to figure that out. I don't want us to like totally lose touch or lose momentum and kind of like pick things back up when he gets back. Like that's not gonna feel good.
Yeah.
So I think like I definitely want to chat with him about that when I go down there. And you know, get his thoughts and because I don't want to feel like we are starting from scratch when he gets back.
Yes, agreed. Sort of like I think given the time you've spent together now, it could feel like, you know, 10 steps forward, 12 steps back type thing.
Right. Right. And also like maybe it's the comeback kid. Maybe it's someone else. Like obviously I'm continuing to live my life.
Yeah.
And I want to continue to develop feelings and things for him also and not feel like that's on pause. I don't want it to be on pause, I think is what.
Yeah.
Where in my head is that?
Understand. Completely understandable.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what he thinks.
Yeah.
Going down there. I think we're going to hang out with my friends. It'll be fun.
What fun.
Yes.
Love it.
So, and I also, I said this on the Patreon, but he is a confirmed listener.
Yes. Yes.
So
yes,
hello.
Yes.
Well. Although he did, what did you say?
I said, hello, Mr. Man.
Hello, Mr. Men. He did say that he would stop listening if I wanted him to, like if it made me more comfortable for him to not, which I think, I mean, he's a very thoughtful and kind person. It's one of
the very respectable.
But I said, like, I don't see a reason for him to not, unless he doesn't want to hear me updating about potentially other people. Like I was thinking about it in reverse. Like if I were dating somebody who had a podcast, and Cindy and I were talking about this today too, I think initially I would listen, like I would want to hear about our first date. I would want to hear like all of the stuff that he had said about me to date. I don't know if I would want to continue.
I totally agree.
I think I would be like morbidly curious and then be like, ooh, this maybe isn't what I want to do.
Yep.
And like cut it off. So, which he might do.
Yeah. That is good.
Yes. I don't know about you, Erica, but I have always been a PMS girly. Like that week before I get my period, even though I don't actually get a period anymore because of my IUD, the week when I would get it, I have always had just hormones all over the place, cravings, it's cramps, just all sorts of stuff. And it's been so much easier to manage my PMS with Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth.
So one thing I really like about this company is so many health studies they don't reveal has only been done on men. So I love a company that is actually making products not only designed for women, but is also testing them with women. Makes a huge, huge difference. Taking the Hormone Harmony isn't just for like menopause. I feel like we hear hormones and people think like, oh, that's not for me. But it can work for all of us at any age. Whether you do still have those night sweats, right? You don't have to have menopause to be hot at night, all right? That's your girl all the time. Racing thoughts and low moods, maybe poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, or the occasional bloating or gas. Hormone Harmony can help you with all of these things.
Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens, and the beauty of those is they help the body adapt to any stressors, like those chaotic hormonal change that we're talking about, or any of those issues that you mentioned. The biggest benefit is just feeling like myself all the time and not having these like ups and downs.
If you're interested in getting something like this into your routine, you should definitely check them out. And we have a limited time deal for you. You can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. and just use the code FMH at checkout.
So I've talked a little bit on the pod about how I've been trying to extend my damp January into future months. And I have really been enjoying Recess mocktails as a way to have what feels like a fancy drink at home, but without the alcohol.
Yeah. And also it's nice to have something in your fridge that just has a little bit of flavor.
Totally.
And they're delicious. They're made with real fruit, sweetened with agave, and again, 0% alcohol. So just a nice little flavorful drink that is a little play on our favorites here. They got a bunch of great flavors.
My personal favorite is the Recess Watermelon Mojito. I actually like to garnish it like it's a actual cocktail. Like I put it in a coupe glass, feeling all fancy, garnish it with a little sprig of mint. It is delicious.
And my favorite is the Recess Ginger Lime Mule. I'm a ginger gal. And what I love also, not too sweet. Perfect amount of just a little sweet treat.
They're absolutely delicious, and you can get 15% off Recess mocktails now at takearecess.com/FMH, so you can enjoy your favorite cocktails without the consequences.
Okay, so we have like a bit of a different ep this week.
We do. Oh my God.
I know. I know what you're thinking.
We didn't do weird or nah.
Yep.
Oi. Oopsies. Sorry, everyone. We're very professional. Yes. So we thought it would be good for like a little palate cleanser, a little bit of like a fun ep. And we also get a lot of there's several submissions in our suggestion form about it. We get a lot of DMs, we get a lot of comments about how when somebody starts the podcast anew, that there are so many nicknames and like clearly history of people. Not just that we've been dating since we started the podcast, but our own history going back in our dating history, and we reference these people and it can be confusing.
Yes. We need like an FMH lexicon.
Exactly. So we thought we would do a glossary episode of sorts and go through all of the key people with nicknames about whom we speak. And we did a more deep dive, and we will do more live Patreon origin stories where we like went into the real nitty gritty of different people. And that is not what this is. This is more a high level understanding.
Yes.
Of like, here's who this person is. And like, I was thinking also some like key highlights of like, oh, and I talk about him in this context. Like he's relevant because we were long distance or he's, you know, like those sorts of highlights. But if you want the real down and dirty origin stories, those are on the Patreon. Or a couple of them are, and more of them will be.
Great.
So how should we do this? Should we switch off? Should we – like what do you think? We should have talked about this beforehand. Again, we are very professional.
I think switching off makes sense.
Yeah. Otherwise, I think we should do one person talking.
Let's talk simultaneously and have them sort it out. I think that we should do – maybe the first part be significant exes from that we often reference from before the podcast started, and then sort of like podcast people.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Because I would argue that there are podcast people that we reference fairly often who are actually not that significant in our lives.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, great. Do you want to go first?
Sure. Okay, so probably the ex that I reference the most, which makes sense because it's my longest relationship, is PowerPoint.
Yep.
And that is somebody that I dated off and on cumulatively. At the end of the day, it was 2 years, I would say. It was off and on a little bit in the beginning and then very consistent for 18 months. And towards the end of our relationship, he bought a house and was looking for me to live there with him. And it was a very, in a way, good thing that happened because it sort of forced my hand to really consider taking that next big step. And the idea of moving in with him gave me a big, awful anxiety pit of like, fuck, I cannot do this. And so we broke up. And I would say he probably comes up most in the context of like, he is somebody that objectively lied to me. To this day, I don't believe that he physically cheated on me, but he did lie to me about how he was spending his time and with whom. Mm-hmm. And he also, like, something I think also comes up in our conversations is he would engage in a lot of, like, relationship negging, where he would try to, and so, like, a thing that my friends have said to me that they want me to take away from the relationship is, like, you do not make yourself small. Yeah. And the joke that I often share that he said was that he had a PhD, and so he always said to me, no matter how well you do in law school, remember that PhD is always a superior degree.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. And that's just sort of a microcosm example. And then like, the people in my life did not like him. My parents did not like him. My friends did not really like him.
Like, at the time, we're
during the relationship,
that, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I will say, so my very close friends liked him because they spent a good amount, like, Anna and Ian probably spent the most time with him, and he's very charismatic. And so they liked him and thought he was, like, funny and smart. He is. But then my broader friend group were not crazy about him because he was older than me, and he sort of developed this unfounded feeling that he was, like, the dad of the group, or he was not fitting in with kind of my larger friend group. All of that was very much in his head, in my opinion. But yeah, I think that's, like, the main. Oh, and then he's PowerPoint because
I was gonna say, and we're burying the lead here. Yeah.
So I broke up. I would say probably, like, the worst fact in my case against PowerPoint is that I objectively broke up with him on Christmas Eve day. And it was because he was supposed to be coming away with me and my parents for Christmas. And I was like, you cannot come on this trip because will be so much worse if you travel and we do this. And so I just had to call him and get that out of the way. And I said, like, I will talk to you when I will give you whatever in-person conversation you want when I get back to LA. And so I gave him that space, but, like, I am sure when he retells the story, he's like, it's, you know, she's such a bitch. She broke up with me at Christmas. But anyway.
Yeah.
So when we had that in-person conversation in Los Angeles, he made a 50-slide PowerPoint in which he attempted to convince me to stay together. And I declined. And
a PowerPoint that included the PhD tidbit, by the way.
It did. It's like he didn't even get that was still an issue. And, like, keep in mind that we had several lengthy phone calls in between where obviously the first phone call was very long. And then he kept calling me for quite some time while my parents and I were still on this Christmas trip until it got to where I told him, hand to God, I promise you I will give you this time in LA. I will not dodge you, but we cannot talk until then. And he did respect that boundary. But anyway, so he makes this PowerPoint. Before he presents it, I say it's not going to change anything. It ends. He sort of says, so now did it change something? And I said,
you're like, nope. No!
Correct. I said no. And then he told me I was going to be a bad lawyer because I couldn't integrate new information and change my position. And I was like, I don't think you know what a lawyer does. But moving on.
Also, just because you didn't do it that one time because the information was not actually new.
Exactly. Nor factual. It was a very, very slanted narrative.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
The other thing that I think comes up and that you, like, reference a lot when you talk about him is his lack of reliability, where, like, you, like, weren't sure if he was going to show up for you in so many different ways.
That's a great point.
Physically and, I think, emotionally.
100%. Yes. That I never felt like he was going – like, if he was my plus one for a wedding, I literally felt like – he might not show up until he was physically there.
Yeah. Which I think like manifested, like we talk, the way you talk about it, like manifests yeah. itself in
100%. So that is something forward. That I get kind of triggered by. Yes.
Yeah.
Good, good call.
Yeah,
so that's PPT. Yeah,
point, man. So if we're starting with X of most significance that we talk about the most, then mine is most certainly ASV.
Yes.
And that stands for aspiring sober vegan. Obviously.
I like X's tend to have like the pre-podcast guys tend to have nicknames based on the breakup.
Yes. So before we get to that, I'll bury the lead and talk about the breakup and the nickname at the end as well. But so ASV is not my longest relationship. We dated twice, the first time for 3 months, maybe. And then he tried to ghost me despite the fact that I met him through a very close friend. We have a very close mutual friend. And he's like my best guy friend and they were college roommates. And the first time we dated, he tried to ghost me. I had to force him not to and be like, you won't be ghosting me. Actually, we have a really close mutual friend and we will be seeing each other. And no, if you don't want to date me anymore, like put on your adult pants and tell me that you don't want to date me anymore. And he said, I don't want to date you anymore. I said, okay. And got it.
Yeah.
And then yep. And then I was like, yep, see, that's all you had to do. Bye. And then I cried. And then so then a few months later, maybe 4 months later, we reconnected at a friend's birthday party. As I had said to him, we were going to see each other and had a really long conversation. We ended up getting coffee on my birthday. I ended up inviting him to my birthday party. We started casually dating. And the reason it was casual is because he was moving to Philly for work, basically. And so we were just casually dating because we knew that he was moving to Philly in like at that point, 3 months away. However, across the course of that casual dating, we realized that we did not want to be casually dating. So we decided to try to make it work long distance or mid distance technically, because as we've discussed before, apparently long distance is 200 miles and Philly is not that far from New York. So that's, I think, one of the main things that comes up with him is that we were effectively long distance.
Yeah.
And like all of the, you know, ways that I dealt with that and or didn't, and how, you know, difficult it was and the kind of the things we tried to do. The other thing that comes up a lot with him before we get to the breakup part is at the time, my pretty acute anxious attachment and his very acute avoidant attachment. Yep. And how those two things did not play well in the sandbox.
Yeah.
And I also forgot to mention that I met him the day before I flew home for my dad's funeral. So my dad died in July 2018. I came back to New York for a bit. We had it was a memorial, not a funeral. We had his memorial in August. I met ASV literally the day before I flew back.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of emotions happening at the time. But I think those were like the two, is there anything else that I really talk about with him? I think those are like the two biggies, the distance.
I think those are the big ones, the like anxious avoidant. And then the fact that both the time frame in terms of the loss of your dad was probably made you extra anxious in terms of like coming from a perspective of loss. And then also in terms of like, you look back, I think, and felt for him so intensely. Mm. And I think that was in part because of that time in your life. And I know you've talked about kind of comparing connections to that. And you think like your memory might be a little skewed.
Yes. Thank you for reminding me of that part too. Yeah. So I mentioned that he is not my longest relationship, but he is certainly the one that I talk about the most. And it is because of that. It is because of my memory of the intensity of that connection that I felt and being worried. I'm no longer worried about this, but being worried for some time thereafter that I would not feel that way again.
Yeah.
And so leads us to the breakup. So as I mentioned, we had a lot of communication issues. But we didn't really get in that many fights. Like, we would have like issues where he would shut down or I would be super anxious, but we weren't like fighting.
Yeah.
However, we did get in one really big fight. We dated for about 6 months. Almost, it was not quite 6 months. If you remember the screenshot, 6 month anniversary text conversation. It was a couple weeks before our 6 month anniversary. And we got in a fight because he had invited me home to meet his extended family. I had already met his parents, but his extended family. And he canceled that trip on me. He was still going, but basically uninvited me without really any explanation at all via text message the night before, and said, like, I'm still going to go and then I'll meet you, but you're not coming and I'll meet you in the city on Saturday instead. And we ended up getting in a fight via text message because he like wouldn't pick up my phone calls. I had also been drinking. That didn't help. And we got in this fight. And then on Saturday, he came into the city as promised. And we had planned a picnic in Prospect Park. I brought picnic items. We went to the park, and instead of having a picnic, he instead broke up with me. And the way that he broke up with me was first by asking where I saw myself in 5 years, and or maybe 10 years. I can't remember the time frame. And I said, you know, I'm not entirely sure, but like, I hope I'm with you and, you know, we're really happy. And he told me that he sees himself living a sober vegan lifestyle in Ohio so that he can give 50% of his income to charity because Ohio has a very high income, average income for his profession. And that he didn't see that comporting with the lifestyle that I want to lead, and therefore we should break up.
How many drafts did he have to write of this breakup to come to that?
For that to be the – and like, and it's like very clearly not the reason, right? Like,
yeah.
And looking back, I know that we are not right for each other. Like, we are not compatible people. But the fact that he was like, nope, can't say any of those valid reasons, must tell her that it's because I need to be sober and vegan and live in Ohio.
Yep. Yep.
And then the reason he is the aspiring sober vegan is because I do think that he is mostly sober, but he is not vegan.
Definitely not vegan. Do you recall from – did you ever take like AP European history or anything like that? Okay. Do you remember for, I think it's World War II, the French military had like Plan 57 or something. So it was like Military Plan 57, and like they folded instantly. And so it was like, what were plans 1 through 56? His breakup reminds me of Plan 57.
So bad.
Yeah.
And then we were like sitting on this hill in Prospect Park, and I had this picnic shit with me and I got broken up with. So I like left. He wanted to give me a hug. I said no. I like went as far away from him as I could find, as I could get, so I couldn't see him anymore, and then like crumpled to the ground crying. It was a very nice lady, offered me food. And then I went to a brewery and had a burger because I won't be sober or vegan.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's ASV.
Excellent. Probably the only other ex that I really talk about that was pre-podcast is the student.
Yeah.
Which was the guy that I dated in law school. And very nice guy. Like, I would recommend him to others. just not for me.
Good Yelp review.
Yes. Very nice guy. And he – I was his first serious relationship.
Oh, I'm not sure if I knew that.
Oh, yeah. And I think that that influenced a lot of his behaviors. Mm. And it's funny because this is the person that I talk about where I was ASV and the student was Allie. In that the student wanted to come over on Friday after classes ended and stay with me like all weekend. And I was like, you've got to go. And
relatable student.
And he would take it so personally and be so sad. And I was like, you have to hear me that this is not about you. It is that like, I want to wander the aisles of Costco by myself and like trust that that does not bear on my interest in you. And so there we were. But
that anecdote is especially relatable because I one time went grocery shopping with ASV during his Sunday meal prep session, and he really didn't want me there.
Exactly. And like, it's, and that's the thing. It really, it's not, it's so not personal.
No.
It's this feeling that it's going to be boring and I don't want to feel like I'm dragging you somewhere, you know, like yeah. This is like, even though I'm sure he would have been, he was like, but I'm happy to hang out.
Oh, whatever. I was anyway. Thrilled to be there.
Yeah. So what really inevitably broke us up is that we sort of kept having the same fight, which was and how I compared it when we were dating is that, like, I don't perceive the things of life as a hierarchy, but as more of a, like, network map, if you're familiar, you know, with bubbles.
Yep.
And sort of the bubbles are different sizes. And I think sort of based on your needs of the moment, the bubbles move sizes.
Yeah.
And so it's like dynamic. Things ebb and – yeah, exactly. Things ebb and flow. And so – but he wanted the relationship to be, like, top of the pyramid. And he saw
at
me
at all times.
Yes. And he saw me in law school. You know me. The listeners hear me on this podcast. I was a fucking maniac in law school because I just was like, I don't give a shit. I'm going to – my goal here is to do as best as I can to get the job that I want. And, like, I didn't care so much what people thought of me. And so he saw me being, like, pretty, like, raw, ambitious, like, aggressive and, like – traits that I'm not all the time, but are certainly important to me.
Yeah.
And was into that, liked me, and then kept sort of saying things like, oh, but when we have a family, you'll slow down.
What about me makes you think that?
Exactly. And my answer was like, that might be true based on the circumstances of what happens then.
Right.
I can only give you who I am today, and that yeah. person is not presenting as somebody who is that. And so that was the fight we kept having where I remember each time ending up in tears saying to him, I do not think that I will make you happy. Mm-hmm. And that, like, who I am is fundamentally not who you want. And I know that you say you love me and yada yada, but I believe that this will not be, you will decide that this is not what you want. And I ended up, I was the one who ended it because, like, we just kept having, I was like, we never don't come back here and it's kind of getting absurd. Yeah. And so that's how that ended.
The other thing that I think you reference him a lot with is how he wanted to stay friends.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. He very much wanted to stay friends because we had been friends originally and then started dating. And I knew because he had told mutual friends of ours that he very much was like, well, I've got this. We'll just take a step back because that turned us into dating last time. And so it'll work this time. And so I had to nip that in the bud.
I didn't realize that he told people that.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you just assumed that that was his thought process.
Oh, no. It was an explicit plan.
Oh, shit. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. No. No, sir.
Yeah. But no, very nice guy. I hope he finds, like, a lovely woman who is interested in the home.
And wants those things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of somebody who is looking for a lovely woman who loves the home, we have the oyster. I did not say, speaking of a lovely guy who wants a lovely woman who wants the home, because I do not think that about the oyster. But so the oyster and I dated in 2020. So, and we met right before COVID hit. We met like 2 weeks before Valentine's Day on Bumble. And then everything shut down. And so I think and then we dated until almost August. So like 6 months.
I would also consider him your first Finding Mr. Hype boyfriend.
He was my first Finding Mr. Hype boyfriend. Yes, good point. Because I started Finding Mr. Hype, not in the form that it is now,
right,
but in January of 2020. And he was the 13th first date I went on. I went on 13 first dates in 30 days. And he was number 13. Yeah. it was a very different type of thing at the time. So anyway, started dating him. The couple of highlights that are really low lights that I talk about with him. Anytime we talk about love bombing, I bring him up. It was very intense, very quickly. If you want to hear more about that, you can go back to our love bombing episodes, the love bombing one and the exploding one. I talk a lot about him in both of those. And it was, he was also, I don't know if he was intentionally manipulative, but he was pretty manipulative in like not allowing me to feel ways that I felt, like gaslighty, like not making me feel like what I was feeling wasn't valid.
Yeah.
He did a lot of that. And part of that is what I mentioned about wanting a lovely woman who loves the home, is that he made me feel like my desire to live in New York City and maybe not have kids and never move to the suburbs. I mean, not that I never will, but like that like ideal in my head was absolutely crazy, insane. Who would want that?
Mm-hmm.
And like, when are you going to grow up kind of attitude, as if a person who chooses that life is not a grown up. And he very much had me believing like at times, ultimately not because I broke up with him, but very much had me believing at times that maybe I do want these things. Maybe he is right. Like that I am kidding myself that that could be a life that I would want. We were long distance actually accidentally because he moved back home to his parents in Connecticut and didn't tell me he was doing that. So that was a whole thing. And there was also a lot of, which I haven't gone into as much, which I likely will on some future episode, but there was also a lot of conflict with us because of the backdrop of 2020. And like, I was dating him when George Floyd happened. I was dating him during all of the BLM movement stuff. And he was very much not supportive of my journey to understand my Black heritage, which was weird.
Yeah. To say the least.
Yeah. Yeah. Weird is an understatement. Obviously. Obviously, weird is an understatement. But yeah, not a great guy to me. He had some good qualities. But is there anything I missed?
I'm trying to think. Oh, high conflict?
Oh, yes. Very, very volatile relationship. My most volatile I've ever had. We fought constantly and it was a roller coaster. And that was his norm. And yeah, we discussed this a few different times, mostly after fights, when we were in the, I guess, the high of the roller coaster. And I would ask him, is this normal to you? Is this what happens in relationships? And he said, yes. Like that was his norm of a relationship. And that is not something that
not
I want.
Pleasant.
Not pleasant. And it was so exhausting. And kind of like you said with the student, where you would come back to the same fights over and over again. We did too. And it was often about how I didn't want to leave the city and he hated it here. So, you know, and it would just, oh God, we just fought so much. I forgot about that. Try to forget about that. Yeah. So that was the oyster. He's called the oyster because we got oysters on our first date. That one's a like fairly innocuous nickname.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're on like the podcast now.
We are. I do want to mention a couple people that I mentioned, that I have dated in a couple of my exes that I've meant that I do mention.
Go for it.
And so if you hear me mention the coach, that is my first serious boyfriend. We dated for almost 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Really lovely guy. We are still on very good terms. We're not friends. He doesn't even live here anymore, but there's not much more to say about him, but that was my first serious relationship. And then I talk about, the chef. The chef is a time that I got cheated on.
Very notable.
Yes, very notable. The chef, total shit. Just a very toxic situation where I like, we broke up and got back together a few different times. And the last time he went to Mexico to visit his ex-girlfriend while we were dating. And then I received a Snapchat picture of the two of them in a hotel bed together. You just
so bad.
And then you come into the story because however many years later, I think that was in 2016. So like 6 years later or something like that, he Facebook messaged me out of nowhere and apologized like very profusely for being an absolute shithead while you were staying with me here in New York.
Incredible. I love the timeline on that.
I know. And I woke up to it and you were like in the other room and we had been like chatting, but we had just woken up and all of a sudden I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. And I was like, when do I ask a question?
I was just like panicking, like panic spiraling in my bed, having like read this Facebook message. And then we went to brunch with Alana.
Yeah, that was good. Good day.
That was like all the day that happened. Yeah, she's like, that's the chef. And then, yeah, those are like the big ones. I talked about the Buffalo pretty recently, who was a guy that I also dated long distance, who pretty much ghosted me. And the dentist, who was like the nice guy that I dated, that was nice guy, not my guy.
Love. Yeah, I guess like my quickies are Platters, which is the guy that ghosted me when I suggested he be my friends.
Yep.
Freight
train?
The express train.
Express train. Sorry. Express train.
Yes. Express train is the guy that I dated in New York who was like ready for marriage. Yeah. I don't have a nickname for the guy that made a pro-con list about me.
Oh, shit. I forgot about that guy.
Yeah. I mean, we could just call him pro-con list.
He could be the
list.
That's
all he's good for. Yeah. However, I do. He looks at my LinkedIn like a fair amount.
What?
Yeah.
Random.
Yeah. Anyway,
I have a quickly. He's probably still listening, so he'll find this out. But I looked at the Disco Balls LinkedIn today.
Yeah.
I don't know why I had this desire to just look at his LinkedIn. I truly don't know what came over me. Not that it's a bad thing, but like it just was super random. I've never looked at it before. And his picture is so cute. He's got this like big smile and I just saw his picture and my whole face lit up.
Oh my God, that's so cute.
His picture is adorable.
That's very like, precious.
He just looks so happy anyway.
Aw.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Oh no, you're fine.
Podcast people.
Yes. So I will say also there was – right before we started the podcast, I dated my chef,
yep,
who is my version of your coach. We're like, we're not quite friends, but like we see each other around town pretty often. And when we do, we say hi. He has opened a restaurant near me that is very good. And I've taken multiple guys that I've dated there, which is a perfect segue because I took the cyclist there. And the cyclist was like, you should have married this guy. He was like, this food is amazing. It was really funny.
Oh my God.
But yes. So like right when we started the podcast, I started dating the cyclist and he like something I think we often talk about with him is he's sober. And so it was like a foray into one partner being sober where like I'm not. And we I invited it's. Another case of me inviting somebody to I also talk about him in this context because I invited him to meet my friends. He accepted and then like the day before canceled. And his reason was because he didn't know if he wanted to marry me.
Oh, cyclist.
Which is so absurd. And I was like, right. Like I'd like you to meet my friends before I decide if you become my boyfriend. Like I don't know any of that yet. And so we ended up not seeing each other anymore. And then that's it. I was like, how does that end?
So it's interesting that you like, that you said, you know, the first guy that you were dating when we started the podcast, I don't really recall anyone significant that I dated for like the vast majority of the pod.
You didn't go on a first date for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even remember who my first date was with on the pod.
God, that's a good question. I don't know.
but it was a while. Because right. the first person that I can even think of who has a nickname that we talk about is the three-peat.
Oh, no. You're crazy. At least the accountant.
Oh, fuck. Okay. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. And the Aussie, which was right around the same. Okay. Wow. I think the accountant might have been my first date in a while.
Yeah, that could be.
I think that's right. I might be skipping over somebody else, but if I'm skipping over them, I don't think it's relevant. The accountant was my first matchmaker date. Yes. So he is significant for that reason. And we went on three dates. Great guy. Not for me. We have not spoken since this happened, really, but he recently reached out to me saying that he like –
Didn't you invite him to a group hang?
I did, but then I realized – so he invited me to a party he was throwing at his apartment. I wasn't going to be in town. I then reciprocated and invited him to Cindy's birthday.
Yeah.
However, I realized after the fact that I told him that I would let him know when we had a solid plan, and I never did that.
Oh no.
So like, I thought that I had told him like the whole, like we're meeting at this brewery at 3:00.
Yeah.
But I didn't remember that I had invited him before we had solidified that plan.
Oops.
And then I forgot to tell him.
Update. Yeah. Got it.
So next time there's something that makes sense, I'll reach out. Because he's great. And I think his friends are probably super fun. I think he's a great hang. Like, I think he would be a good person. Especially going into the summer when there's like way more opportunities for group hangs and whatnot.
Yeah.
I think he would be a great person to have around. So that was the accountant. And then around the same time was the Aussie, because I think I went on those dates like kind of – I was going on dates with both of them. Because I went on two dates with the Aussie and three dates with the accountant, and I think they were sort of overlapping.
I agree. Yes. I think that's exactly right.
And the Aussie – it grew up in Australia, but doesn't have an accent. So that was confusing. But the thing that I mentioned with him is that he's the guy that I walked up to the wrong person on our second date.
Yes.
After having met the man. Like,
I also feel like it was the first person in a while who you had like been like, oh, this is a connection.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. I think like that he, I think, made me feel a lot better in terms of like, oh, I could go on a date and like someone. Because I do think that I'm forgetting about first dates that I went on before the accountant. I do not think the accountant was my first date of the year. It was in like July.
No, because I actually found – I found the episode.
The accountant episode?
It was May 23rd. It says, Allie has had her first date in a hot minute.
Oh, who's it with?
So it was May 23rd is the episode that came out.
Interesting. I'm gonna go back on my TikTok. You know what I can do? I can search my Google Photos. For May.
It would have been a week based on our recording.
I can search for like May 20th. So the Aussie night. So the Aussie. I was meeting up with him for. Oh Jesus Christ! I just got so many pictures of me in the oyster.
Oh God.
Because I didn't specify a year.
It would have been like May 16th, remember? Because we record a week off.
Yeah, May 16th, 2021.
Yeah.
God, that was hard. That was really hard to figure out what the it was when we recorded with Alana and Jonah. I don't know. I'm going to have to go. While you're talking, I'll go do this too. But anyway, so I'm just going to look for May 2021. So yeah, so the Aussie is the guy that I've recently referenced where we went out, and then on our second date, the person was sort of like turned away from me. He wasn't like full frontal face.
Oh, this is very excusable to me.
It was dark. It was like outside dark, and I walked up to the wrong man and said hello, and he looked at me. And it turned out, and then I obviously realized it wasn't him. And then I saw where the Aussie was, and he didn't see the interaction, so it was fine. But like that guy was, as it turns out, we could overhear their conversation on a first date and waiting for a person from an app. Like it was very clearly they had never met before, waiting for a person who looked nothing like me. Very small woman.
So he thought for a split second he had been deeply catfished.
Yes, deeply, deeply catfished. Like, so that, sorry to that man. So who was after the cyclist for you? Because wasn't there somebody that was like...
Well, technically lots of dogs.
Fuck, yeah.
Yeah. Lots of dogs V1.
Lots of dogs V1.
Yeah. Yeah, went on a couple dates with him. But then was it the classmate?
No. Well, then there was the New Yorker.
Okay, that doesn't count. Oh, boy.
What was it, really the classmate that was right after? I guess so.
I mean, the classmate was August.
Yeah.
And I ended things with trivia.
Trivia. Duh.
Yes, because I was like, the sequence of events was cyclist, lots of dogs, studied for the bar, classmate. And I was talking to trivia during the bar studying. Trivia, actually, again, great guy, fizzled in part because I never felt like I really like knew much about him, where like, I don't know if it was just like a storytelling block or something, but like there was one weekend I recall where I had been out of something was going on, and or maybe I'd come. I think it was the weekend I went to visit you. I went to visit you. He had friends in town, and when we got back and I asked like how his birthday weekend with his friends were, he had like nothing to say. And I don't know if he was like hiding a debaucherous weekend or what, you know, like who the hell knows, but I was like, it can't just be a story. He basically just told me a story of like, we went to this restaurant, then we went to this restaurant, then we like went to the beach. And I was like, that's not a story. You're just like telling me places. And I remember telling my therapist, I just like,
you're just like listing facts.
Yeah. And I told my therapist there's just like this disconnect. And I kind of realized it was because he wasn't actually telling me anything. And so I ended up, there was a big gap because I went home to study for the, I like sequestered myself to study for the bar. And then I actually told trivia about my breakup with trivia was telling him about the classmate, basically. Like those butted up against each other.
That's right.
Yeah.
I just went back. There was the boomerang, who was the guy that I had gone out with before, because I've done this before, but it wasn't 4 years ago. And then I went out with again and was like, ooh, no, I don't like this person.
Yeah.
Not enough. He's fine. I just like wasn't into him.
Right.
That was my first date.
Got it. Pod. Right. Because then also right before I visited, you also had that one who was like, guess how you spell my name.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that guy. I don't even think I ever gave him a nickname.
I don't think we did. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. That guy who like I asked how to pronounce his name and he made me – well, I never did. So he actually did not make me guess, but he attempted to make me guess how to pronounce his name and I refused. I was like, this is not a fun game.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That guy sucked.
Yeah.
And then you had the classmate.
Yeah. Yeah. So, the classmate is probably like the most like significant relationship of like the podcast life of the podcast where, he and I went to elementary school.
The classmate is the only relationship like,
oh, true, official. True, true, true.
Yeah.
True. Yes. Yes. Very
for anybody.
Yeah. And so he and I, the reason he is the classmate is because he and I went to elementary school together. But we like reconnected on Bumble. I did not recognize him. Comedy ensued. And
yearbooks were brought to the first date.
Yes. Yes. He brought the fifth grade yearbook. It was very cute. And we were sort of like off to the races essentially. In part because we had such a high level of comfort and like, it's like the comeback kid, but like more extreme.
On crack. And, yeah.
Yeah. And, so I like took him to my friend Mary's wedding. And after that, we decided to be in a relationship and dated for like 5 months, I think. And, then the fact that I did not disclose until the very end when the relationship was over is that he has – the classmate has two kids. Mm-hmm. And it just became – like, it really was such a logistical hurdle. And I don't know if that was what Garner – like, scaffolded his conclusion or what. But he broke up with me. He came over one night and just said, like, I don't think we should be together. I – think that he's like, I just want to spend like every free moment I have with my kids. And while I heard that, I just was like, okay. In the, like, he was over at my apartment for maybe 5 minutes. And although I hear his perspective, I don't really know and still to this day, I do not know how that played out practically. He had 50-50 custody. Presumably yeah. The other 50% of the time he still has free time. What the fuck ever, who the hell knows? But yeah, that's that.
He's also divorced, that which has come up.
Yes. Divorced, and their arrangement made them spend like a lot of time together. Mm-hmm. And I tolerated that, but like didn't love it. But yeah, so he had like a lot going on.
Yeah. The other thing I think that comes up a lot with the classmate is you've talked about is communication differences, like communication style differences in terms of how he didn't like texting.
Yes. He was not a texter. He was a caller / a FaceTimer. And then something that I think he did really well that he's like sort of set the standard for me on is that he took feedback really well, where I would say something that like upset me and he would like really hear it and want to work towards fixing it and like come back in a different and like better way. And that is something that I like think about as a positive that I want in the future.
Yeah, for sure. So then I would say the only other two people that are even that are significant are the three-peat and then the rower.
Yes, 100%.
So the three-peat is so named because we had matched several times previously. The number three is made up. I don't actually know how many times we had matched, but we had matched more than one other time. We were both pretty sure, but had never been out. And so we went out and we ended up going on five, maybe six dates. I think six. Six dates, I think. This was in the fall from like our last date was – I met – my first date with the rower was on Halloween. It's like a marker that I just know. And I was no longer – the three-peat broke up with me 2 days before I went out with the rower for the first time. They did not happen to overlap. Yeah. But the three-peat, I was sort of playing out the advice of fuck the spark.
Yes.
And like trying to attain the slow burn.
Yeah.
With him. And it did not end up working out, obviously. And something we talked about in the pod was that, like, it wasn't just about not having the spark, but we also just had very different kissing styles.
Yes.
And I went into more of that on the Patreon at the time. But tried to work through that. Didn't work out. And so he basically sent me my no ghosting script.
Yes.
And so he did that. I still take issue with when he sent it. I'm like annoyed about so because funny. he came over. Our sixth date was at my apartment. We cooked or ordered in. We were both really tired and I think we ordered sushi. So we ordered and we like watched movies. It was like a chill night or whatever. I think that he was annoyed that I didn't ask him to stay over. Because I was really tired. Two, I didn't want to even have conversations about anything happening.
Yeah.
Three, I was leaving for a very intense long weekend, like Halloween trip with my friends the very next morning. And I had a lot of shit that I needed to get ready for.
Yeah.
And so I didn't ask. It was never talked about that he was staying. Like, that was never on the table in my mind, but I think it was for him. I think he assumed he was going to stay.
Yeah.
And then when I didn't ask him to, I think he was annoyed about it. No, I'm sorry. the disco ball just texted me and he told me what my code name on his potential future podcast is going to be.
Oh, cute. What is it?
So he had said, we won our volleyball tournament yesterday.
Yes.
And right. I had sent him, thank you. We've now had this conversation twice.
Yes.
Thank you for congratulating me again for the people who didn't hear you do it the first time. I had sent him the picture of our team and, you know, we're doing this like fun pose and I told him that it was prep for nationals because most of the people that I played with yesterday are my nationals team. And so he said that your code name in my potential future podcast is going to be MVP.
Cute. That's a really nice one.
Yeah. So I think that the three-peat was annoyed that I did not ask him to stay over and reacted to that because he texted me ending things on Friday night, like late, when he knew that I had been talking to him about how I was stressed about this weekend because I plan these weekends for my friends and I have like a high level of anxiety of everybody, of it going smoothly and stuff.
Yeah.
And like I do all the grocery shopping, all this stuff. And he like knew all of that. And he texted me like late on Friday night when he knew I was on this trip with all my friends ending things. And he just didn't need to do that. Like it just didn't need to be done that moment.
Yeah.
So whatever. I appreciate the communication, but like could have been Monday.
Yes.
And then 2 days later, though, I went on a first date with the rower, who was then – he's the most significant person that I've dated on the pod.
Yes, and the most modern, except for the ones you're dating currently.
Yes. So I dated the rower. Our first date was on Halloween, and then we ended things in early February. But there were, like, some – sort of longer breaks in there because I went home to California for a month and he was sick for a bit. Like there was just, you know, we were in communication the whole time, but we didn't, mm-hmm. It's not like we were hanging out every week from October 31st to February 7th right. or whatever. And the biggest thing with him is that I was the first person that he had dated in a more quote unquote serious way, like dating, looking for a relationship type way since he ended an engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And he was not nearly as ready for that as he thought he was when we began dating.
Yeah.
And he kind of realized that over in a really kind way, like, and he was always very upfront about it, but he kind of realized that over the course of the 3 or 4 months that we were dating, that he was not nearly as ready as he thought he was. And at one point I posited the idea of being exclusive. And he said he wasn't ready for that. We continued to date for a little while longer and it just really wasn't working for me. It was making me pretty sad on a pretty consistent basis by the end. And so I brought that up and things ended.
Very good.
And the people were upset.
Wild about it.
And the crowd went wild.
Yeah.
And then I really haven't dated anybody significant since then, since February until now.
Yeah. I mean, that feels like yesterday to me.
It truly does. But it honestly, like it was over 2 months ago.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But it does feel like yesterday. Yeah. And now the disco ball and the comeback kid.
Yay. And we're up to speed.
Hooray. And we're up to speed. So now anytime anybody wants a rundown, we can just point them to this episode.
Yeah.
And I'm also curious, listeners, if we have forgotten anyone that you can think of, shout us out in the comments, like in the comments on the Instagram post or whatever. Because then if there's any, I mean, I know there's people we've mentioned, there's nicknames that like the resident, whatever. I never talk about him. But like, feel free to drop nicknames in the comments of the Instagram of people that we didn't mention.
Perfect.
That would be fun.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
All right.
All righty. I am going to go to bed.
I'm going to check my email and hope that nobody's emailed me and go to bed myself.
Yeah. You need it.
Yeah. All righty.